Rob Owen, Tim Benz here. It is Pittsburgh Pop on a Monday. So glad you're with us. Plenty to talk about today from the world of pop culture. Rob from TV Talk, TV Q&A, me from Breakfast with Benz. I'm sure all eyes were on the Steelers yesterday for that wild game that they had for week one over in what is now Paycor Stadium, formerly Paul Brown Stadium. In Cincinnati, they're changing the names of stadiums too, Rob. It's not just us here in Pittsburgh. So
money.
We are not alone in that regard, but a wild game. I can't wait to see the TV ratings numbers when it comes to that one. But Rob, one thing you talked about, speaking of football getting going, that always coincides as well with the rolling out of the new fall season. And there's lots to talk about on that front. You wrote about that for TV Q&A, right?
TV Talk, actually. It was in the print edition Sunday, and the pieces have been rolling out online since Friday. I think the last piece, the returning broadcast show premiere dates, goes up on Tuesday of this week. But today was the PBS preview that went up. And then last week we had a cable and streaming preview that went up. So yes, lots of television coming your way. I would say generally, and this is generally true and has been for a while, but I think is becoming even more true as time goes on, the more interesting stuff is cable, and more likely than that, even streaming as opposed to broadcast. The broadcast shows, if you look at my preview of that, that's both online and was in print Sunday. There's not a lot there to get excited about.
Is Monarch one of them?
Monarch is among the shows that are premiering. It premiered last night on Fox. And it is also among the shows not to get that excited about. I mean, I love a good primetime soap, but this is just, some of the dialogue is just so bad. So I was not wild about Monarch. I will tell you, the only one I like, and I don't think it's just bias that made me like it, but there is a Hillary Swank as a newspaper reporter.
Oh, the Daily Alaskan, right?
Yes. I went into that totally skeptical. Usually when there's shows about journalism, I kind of roll my eyes a lot, but I actually thought it was pretty accurate. I think there are some parallels between Alaska Daily and the West Wing. You know, what the West Wing did for, putting public servants on a pedestal. I think Daily Alaska does that in a way that to me was not super syrupy or saccharine for journalism. And so I was surprised that I liked the first episode of Daily Alaska. I'm curious to see more. You know, a pilot is just one thing. It could all fall apart. But what this has going for it is Tom McCarthy is the showrunner. And he was the writer of the movie Spotlight, which was a pretty good journalism movie about, I think, the Boston Globe's investigations of abuse in the Catholic Church. So anyway, that is the one that I'm excited to see more. But otherwise, it's mostly at cable and streaming. Are there things that you've heard coming that you're interested in checking out, Tim?
Well, one is the new Star Wars Disney release that I wanted to talk about, Andor. I know we're going to get into this much more when you're able to talk about it and having reviewed it and all. Before we get off of, was it Alaskan Daily or Daily Alaska?
I think it's Daily Alaska, but don't hold me to it.
Okay. I want to get back to that because it struck me as seeing the previews for that. It felt very much like Mayor of Easttown. Or what was the Jeff Daniels one that was like Mayor of Easttown?
Oh, American Rust.
American Rust, the one that was filmed around here. It felt like one of those kind of shows, except instead of a cop doing the investigating, it was a reporter doing the investigating.
Yeah, I can see
Missing
that.
Girl, kind of hard Scrabble town, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I had not thought of that comparison. I can sort of see that, although I would say It's less boring, certainly, than American Rust was in the early going. I mean, American Rust got good towards the end, but it started really slow. By nature of being on broadcast, it is not quite as specific in its place as Mayor of Easttown was. You know, you're not hearing accents. You're not hearing talk of food that is endemic to a particular geographic region. But Alaska Daily does deal with in the first episode, at least, the abduction of indigenous women. And so in that way, it is kind of rooted in a sense of place. There is a mystery element to it. So yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sell that harder in the previews than what actually comes to pass in the show. But yeah, that comparison works to a degree at least.
Well, let's get to the new Star Wars series on Disney, Andor. What's this all about?
So Andor is the latest Disney Plus show based on Star Wars. This is a prequel to Rogue One, which, you know, has become over time sort of one of Star Wars fans' favorite movies, aside from The Empire Strikes Back. Rogue One was all about rebels stealing the plans for the Death Star, which is how the original Star Wars A New Hope began, with them using those plans for the Death Star to take it down. And so this is set, I think it's 5 years before those events, and it's about the Diego Luna character, Cassian Andor, who died, as did almost everybody in Rogue One, but this is when he's alive and when he's just getting into the rebellion. It also features Mon Mothma, again, played by Genevieve O'Reilly. The Forest Whitaker character from Rogue One is in it at some point. I think Senator Palpatine, later Emperor Palpatine, is back, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I've seen it. I'm embargoed from giving an opinion on it for a little bit still. But certainly if you are a Star Wars fan, and in particular a Rogue One fan, I think it's probably worth checking out. Season one takes place over the course of a year. There's going to be a second season, and then it will be done. That second season is, I think, going to be 12 episodes, and every 3-episode batch covers another year leading up to and supposedly seamlessly getting to the start of Rogue One.
This is the first one of these that Disney has done that has not been centered around a former Star Wars original character, right? Like Boba Fett, or
I mean, the Mandalorian, Obi-Wan. When it started, did not have those central characters. As it went on, they came in. But when the Mandalorian started, it was Mando and Grogu, and it didn't bring in Luke Skywalker and Boba Fett until later. But
at the same time, it was, you know, it was the Boba Fett looking character. A little Yoda.
Yeah, this is the first one that is sort of based on, I don't know what you want to call it, an extended Star Wars story.
Not characters not that have nothing to do with the original trilogy.
Yes, but I mean, Mon Mothma was in the original trilogy as well as in the prequel trilogy. So there are some carryover characters, but in terms of the focus, the name, yes, Andor was not in the original trilogy.
No, it's Andor. What's that a reference to? Is that the planet?
That's
with
his
the
name. Cassian Andor is the name of the character.
Endor was the forest
Endor,
planet.
Endor, yes. Yeah. Endor, not
Andor. Return of the Jedi.
Ewok land, yes.
Ewok land. How about the Serpent Queen?
That premiered last night on Stars, and I really like the Serpent Queen. It's you know, there's been so much ink spilled over Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Lord of the Rings, Ring of Power, but I actually think if you're looking for a show that has people in Renaissance fair style costumes, the Serpent Queen is your better bet compared to the two fantasies. This is the story of Catherine Medici. It stars Samantha Morton in the title role. There's also a younger actress who plays Catherine in flashbacks. It is really juicy, and there's all kinds of politics going on. Cole Meany from Star Trek The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine plays the King of France. Charles Dance was another recognizable figure in it as the Pope, or maybe he was a cardinal. No, I think he was the Pope. Anyway, it's if you like those kind of historical period shows, it is worth watching. And it's not the one thing that historical period shows sometimes can be, which is boring. It's very juicy, very soap opera-y. If you're looking for a soap, skip Monarch, watch The Serpent Queen.
Also, some local news when it comes to KDKA and Heather Abraham in the morning, right?
Yes, Heather Abraham announced last week that she was leaving KDK's early morning newscast. She was going to remain on Pittsburgh Today Live, and Lindsay Ward has taken over as the morning co-anchor there. And some people have speculated, oh, they're pushing her out, they're pushing her out. No, they're not pushing her out. This was her choice. She's been getting up at 2 a.m. for a decade, and I think, you know, she was ready to be done with that. And honestly, who in the world could blame her?
Right. So now she gets up at what, 4 a.m. for Pittsburgh Today Live? Or
I think something like that. Yes.
I know about getting up early in the morning to do radio and television, and it's not easy. And
or podcasts
or podcasts. Podcasts, whatever it might be in your situation right now. But, you know, I just want to make sure that people understand that there's a difference between the two. Right. Because I think some people might just hear that and say she's leaving and not realize Pittsburgh Today Live is different from.
Yeah, Pittsburgh news. Today Live is the chat show that's on later in the morning. What she's leaving is the morning newscast that I think goes from 4:30 to 7. So different things, but she's supposedly still going to have a presence in the morning show in some way, shape, or form. It remains to be seen exactly what that will be. But I don't think this is a case where, you know, the rending of garments is necessary.
One note locally for a big national sports television story is that Pat McAfee of Plum is going to be now a member full time of the ESPN College Game Day crew. Of course, you know, McAfee as a former West Virginia kicker and punter and then many years in the National Football League has his wildly popular podcast and YouTube show. You can also hear him on Sirius. And I think this is good for College Game Day to get him because that show needs a little injection of enthusiasm. It's been highly successful for many years. They need somebody who's younger and more vibrant to play the Lee Corso role, which has always been kind of the goofy comic relief element of that show. Mm. McAfee can certainly do that and bring lots of college football analysis and acumen to what he's saying as well. But he can be the entertainment factor that is getting harder and harder for Corso to pull off as he's, gosh, I don't know if he's how far into his 80s he is, but he's been around for a long time. And I think they can let McAfee do a lot of the heavy lifting in that regard now. So that's something to watch for local fans as College Game Day moves along through the regular season. How about TV Talk and TV Q&A this week, Rob? What do you have?
TV Talk, we've got another local on Secret Celebrity Renovation, Aaron Donald. That followed after Billy Gardell did an episode earlier this summer. And then TV Q&A, somebody wants to know why Channel 4 and Channel 11 sometimes have the news anchors read sports and not the sports anchors.
Oh, I think we know the answer to that one.
Money, money.
Yeah, because you can save $50 to not call in somebody to work on the weekends, basically, is what it is. That's what it comes down to. You can save a salary full time.
Or even on a weekday.
Right. You know, we can have Andrew Stocky, for instance, be the main anchor and the sports director all at once. It's amazing right. How you can meld these things so long as somebody is producing the sports cast, not getting paid very much to do it and working very hard at it. Not for me to get on a rant and get on my soapbox here or anything, but I will. All right. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back with TV Talk and TV Q&A at the Trib throughout this week. Breakfast Ben's too, leading up to the Patriots game, the first game of the season at Acrisure Stadium for the season. First regular season game, I should say, at least. And then we'll be back with next week's edition of Pittsburgh Pop as well. Rob Owen, Tim Benz with you here on Trib Live.